So, looking at today, we continue in our study of Timothy, how to run a church, what a pastor is supposed to be in a church, and we look at false pastors today. What are we supposed to do with false pastors? Well, we're seeing today's verses, we're supposed to withdraw from them. Countenance them not at all. Make sure we ignore them. But how do you know a false pastor? Well, a false pastor thinks he is God's gift to the world. Instead of true humility, his arrogant pride exposes his true motives, fame and glory. Al Bryant shares an example of a man who allowed pride to ruin his ministry. One of Charles Spurgeon's students went into a pulpit with every expression of confidence, but he had an extremely difficult time. He came down distressed, almost brokenhearted, and he went to Spurgeon about it. The words of Spurgeon to him were these, "If you had gone up as you came down, you would have calmed down as you went up." Same is true of the physical gravity of spiritual pride. What goes up must come down. This man thought he had all the answers. This man was going to show he was God's gift to that church. He was going to show everyone needs to follow him. He had full confidence in everything apart from the empowering Spirit of God. And when he did that, he went up with full pride, found himself bereft of any wisdom, and came down ashamed. Unfortunately, many pastors don't have that experience. They go up full of pride, they come down full of pride. He came down humbled, at least. Many pastors out there have pride in what they teach, have pride in what they preach. I'm not allowed to have that. I have none. I've asked for a show of hands many times. How many people agree with me on absolutely everything from the Bible? One of these days, someone's going to raise their hand. So, I don't have that wisdom. My wisdom all comes from the Bible. My wisdom all comes from Jesus Christ. My wisdom comes from this, and I have none of my own. If I start getting my own out there, you need to find a different church. So why do people become pastors? Do they become pastors for pride, profits, prestige, or power? Or to proclaim the love of Christ, to lead a body of believers to the truth? Once again, today, Paul shows Timothy how to handle a false pastor when you find him. You withdraw from him. You don't argue with him. You don't do anything with him. You just strictly withdraw. But how do you know him? They do have a form of godliness. They hold the Bible. They dress well. They have great swelling words, but they focus on fleshly advantage. By focusing on fleshly advantage, they may have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Desiring to show himself worldly wise in the church, he becomes double-minded, wanting to show us how to live our best life now rather than focusing on eternal. James 1:8 says, that double-minded man becomes unstable in all his ways, and his church will do the same thing. God wants stability in his church. It's a church built on a foundation. That foundation is right here. If it's not hit from here, it will be double-minded. It will fall. It will fail. To be successful, once again, I need to follow God's word, not my own ideas. Now, my own ideas are no better than yours. They may be a little bit more studied. They may be a little bit more, with a little more background from college, things like that, but they're no better than yours. My ideas need to come from here. I need to preach his word. With John the Baptist from John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. When I'm preaching, I want you to hear the words of Christ. I want the words of Christ to go into your heart. I want you to see Jesus Christ. I don't want you to see me. I'm worthless, quite frankly. I'm doing only what God called me to do. A poor, worthless servant following who called me. That's it. I have no pride. I have no ability for pride. The wisdom is not my own. With Paul, I'm to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, and have you know the same thing. So let's look at the dangers of false prophets and how to recognize them. If you would stand to give honor to his word and turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men and of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, we recognize many false prophets in this world, and they are nothing new. They have been around ever since the very beginning. And Lord, we need to recognize those false prophets. Not give them the honor of trying to argue with them, but strictly withdrawing from them, letting them speak their words of lies to people wanting to hear them with itching ears. But Lord, we know that your word will not return void. We know that your word will accomplish your will the way you sent it out and intend for it to work. And Lord, it is our job to proclaim your word, not our wisdom, not our ideas, not our thoughts. And Lord, we can have no pride because it is your word that will accomplish your word, your will. Not my great oratory, not my great study, strictly your word. And let us look at false prophets and recognize that where they come apart from your word, and let us withdraw ourselves from them. We ask all of your precious sons their name. Amen. Thank you. Take your seats. Now, these particular verses follow the duties of slaves to masters, but they focus on the cankered gold of the masters and assume that the slaves need to have some of that gold. They're focusing on today's cankered gold instead of treasures in heaven. But these verses can be used against any false teacher, pushing heresies to elevate himself over God's word, looking to present their own wisdom in the world, showing themselves wise, showing themselves someone that has to be followed because they are the ones with the truth. Now, I'll tell you right now, I am the one with the truth. But that truth is this right here. It is not me. These are people that say, I'm the one with the truth. They don't hold the truth. They supposedly give the truth from their own ideas. They seek to have their best lives today rather than focusing on eternity. Again, we see many today's pastors in these verses, thereby taking God's power from today's churches, thereby taking God's blessing from today's country, thereby inviting God's judgment, proclaiming that the blessings we have in this country are by our own power and not given to us by God. Our God is a jealous God. Our God will not share his glory with anyone else. Our God will not share his glory with me. If I try to glorify myself, this church will fail. We need to glorify God and only God. That is where our wisdom comes from. We have lost the power of God in our pulpits. Why? MacReady, the famous English author, shows us. There's a tale told of the great English author, MacReady. An eminent preacher once said to him, I wish you could explain to me something. Well, what is it? I don't know that I can explain anything to a preacher, said MacReady. Well, what is the difference between you and me? You are appearing before crowds, night after night with fiction, and the crowds come wherever you go. I am preaching the essential and unchangeable truth, and I am not getting any crowd at all. MacReady replied, this is quite simple. I can tell you the difference between us. I present my fiction as though it were truth. You present your truth as if it were fiction. We need to make sure that we present his truth as truth, the eternal truth, the truth written from above, the truth given to us to show us how to live, and there is no other truth. You know, when Jesus was in front of Pilate, Pilate asked him, what is truth? And he was talking the truth right there. We have a lot of pastors saying the same thing today. What is truth? Well, I know what truth is. It's his word. He's called the word, and that's what truth is. We need pastors who know the truth, believe the truth, preach the truth, demand the truth in our churches, and show the truth in all society. We need pastors who glorify God who has given us that truth. Now, there are many false teachers we are called to withdraw from. Today shows false teachers' characteristics, and they're not all the same, but they have some of the same characteristics. They look at today rather than eternity. They look at making your best life now rather than setting up treasures in heaven. They look at how to make your world better now instead of realizing this is a fallen world. Satan's in charge of it. It can't be perfected. If we follow Christ, if we follow God, he'll bless us. But it is not a fallen world that is ever going to be corrected until Christ returns. So, he goes from general to specific. First of all, these false preachers are teachers of false doctrine. They're proud. They're controversial and corrupt, and they confuse what godliness really is. So teachers of false doctrine, make no mistake. People have been teaching false doctrine from the very, very beginning. They were rewriting the very words that the apostles wrote or that the writers of the Bible wrote basically as they were writing them. Every epistle written was written to a church that was having some error in their teaching, some error that they allowed into that church, and they were written to correct them. Romans? It was God's power over state power. Galatians, grace over Jewish law and legalism. Ephesians, focusing on God's power over what you look at today. Philippians, unity of the body versus divisions of pride. Colossians, true wisdom over narcissism. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, confusion about the second coming of Christ leading to a problem with not working because they figured that it had already passed and they were about to get called home. Paul showed us the problem in general with the Galatians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Amazing how he puts it right away what the problem with the Galatians was. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. How much of us listen to the latest, greatest thing and try to follow it? It's exactly what the Galatians did. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But right there we see what a false prophet is. He's a servant of men, not the servant of Christ. I'm a servant of Christ only. You follow me as I follow Christ. If I stop following Christ, you stop following me. Because you shouldn't be seeing me. You should be seeing Jesus Christ in the words that I speak. These do not consent to the pure words of the word, Jesus Christ. Consent here means to approach or attach oneself to. They deny a second coming, his deity, his virgin birth, and all these type of things. And 2 Peter 2:1 says they deny the very God that bought them. Why does this church exist? Why do we have a body of believers? Because Jesus Christ bought the church with his blood. Who am I to deny one word of that? I'm not. I'll be judged heavily if I do. False teachers rely on man's wisdom to impress men, to be lifted up by men and not by God. Refusing the word given by the word and illuminated by the Spirit. Instead, teaching man's wisdom. And they're very good at it. There are a lot of people out there smarter than me. Yeah, most of you will agree with that. A lot of people out there, much smarter than me, may even know the Bible, the facts of the Bible more than me, but they try to do it based on man's wisdom, not God's wisdom. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I got a very simple job. I look at the Bible. I listen to what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. I speak what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. If I do it that way, it's a simple job. If I try throwing my own wisdom in, then it gets much more difficult. Because I got to put things in from man's perspective. I need to make sure I stay with God's perspective. And that's what all true preachers need to do. So we see they teach false doctrine. Teaching false doctrine, they become proud. Proud here in the Greek is tetuphotai, puffed up and conceited with folly. Basically all air and no meat. Having pride for strong words and worldly wisdom and laughing at ignorant Baptists for taking his word at face value. Knowing all in the world, everything in the world's wisdom, and actually knowing absolutely nothing because they do not rely on the word to bring forth his truth. I'm not to know anything except Christ and him crucified, with doctrine from his word to show how to live for that Christ. A false teacher knows far more than I do. He knows how it should be applied in the world. He knows what should be ignored today because times have changed. He knows how science has disproved parts of the Bible and we need to get rid of that folly so people will come in. He knows that far better than I do. I'm a fool preaching God's truth to those who believe, as Paul spoke of in 1 Corinthians 1:21. This crucified Christ is further called a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greek. How can you follow a king that was crucified? What kind of power does he possibly have? There are so many other ways to be great. This crucified Christ cannot know anything today because we live in a far different world. Praise God. We know so much more than he did. Therefore, we can apply it much better as we look at science. They are proud and they can show much more complex wisdom over our basic beliefs and the simplicity of Jesus Christ. Knowing where to doubt Scripture, or to say it no longer applies because the world's changed, or because at the time, you must remember, it was a patriarchal society. And if they tried to bring in women's rights and gay rights and things like that, it would have been rejected out of hand. Christianity would have died. But it no longer applies because we've grown so much past that. Now, if you try to bring in complex arguments like that and show pride and you know so much more than I do, that's where God will then ruin a church, and that church will not stand. The proud know so much more and demand that we listen. The Jesus Seminar is an example. I've talked about it in the past. It was founded in 1985. 150 proud, wise men of great letters came together to find historical Jesus apart from the Bible. And there's been a lot of stories out there, a lot of shows about the historical Jesus. Did you know that he went over to India to learn from the Swamis, and that's why he came up with his great teachings? It was a little bit different what they said. They used a very impressive criteria to determine the difference between truth and legend, between what Jesus really was and what those crazy Christians said he was, showing what to really believe and what to put aside as silly fables that bring Christianity into ill repute. He wasn't really God. He wasn't raised from the dead. No one could be raised from the dead. We know biology. He did no amazing miracles. With other wise fools, they have written many books showing us foolish preachers that we follow a false Jesus. Well, praise God. These wise men came in. They looked at everything. They had all their letters. They looked at the original Greek. They looked at the original Hebrew. They looked at all these great things. And you know what? We're in good shape. We can actually trust 14% of the New Testament. I trust all the New Testament. The Jesus Seminar followed the example of the Corinthian church in demanding people recognize their wisdom, even as it was without God. There are many today that do the same thing. Some Calvinists will get up there, and if you try to show them Scripture, they will argue with you and demean you because you don't accept the sovereignty of God. Now, they don't try to look at the Bible and compare things and see where you're coming from. They will attack. They do it from a much more orthodox position, but they will mock, not merely disagreeing. Peter knows of them, all the false prophets. In 2 Peter 2:18 to 19, he says this: "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Do not be overcome by their great swelling word of man's wisdom." They speak far better than I. They put together an argument better than I. They have much more training than I do, but they are speaking from a foundation built on sand. We need to look and make sure that foundation we live in here, Berea, is built on a rock. So do not follow these proud people. Do not even argue with them. They'll never recognize they lost an argument. They're basing it on man's wisdom, and they deny the foundation you come from. There is no common source of discussion that you can have with them. Since there is no common source of discussion, don't bother. Strictly withdraw from them, as what Paul says today. So with that being proud, they're also controversial and corrupt. Isaiah 5, 20-21 says this: "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Talking about those who are destitute of the truth. Turn on Fox News when you get home today. As you look at the election of people talking, as you look at what the churches are doing, both liberal and conservative, do you see those people in here? Are there a lot of people putting good for evil, truth for error? We see a lot of that happening today in the country and churches. Corrupt minds claiming God's blessings where God has actually cursed. That's why you have open and affirming churches celebrating LGBTQI on and on and on rights. Tomorrow there'll be another letter on there as they try to expand the base so they can have a larger people, amount of people they can talk to with their wisdom. So the ecumenical, just like the ecumenical clergy, who on July 30th, 2015, came together to praise Planned Parenthood for doing God's work. Alicia Baker, Methodist pastor, demanding the Senate block Justice Kavanaugh saying Jesus would support birth control for all to fulfill John 10:10's promise of a full life. They said they have a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. Do we have an abundant life today of serving Jesus Christ? You bet we do. Praise God we do. He gives us that abundant life. That doesn't mean we're going to have all we want. That doesn't mean we're going to do everything we want. That doesn't mean we can accomplish any sin we desire. It means Jesus is with us all the way to the end, and he will accomplish his will through us, giving us the joy for that. Hence, Presbyterian pastor Rebecca Todd Peters saying, if people really value women, they should support abortion. Hence, over 100 pastors in California backing a NARO bill, the pro-abortion group, that promotes abortion. These are supposedly pastors. These are false pastors. These are people we shouldn't be arguing with. Strictly, we're drawing from. Proclaiming his truth, and let God do with his truth what he will with that truth. They know the Bible, and yet they deny exactly what it says. Romans 1 says they are without excuse, as they know God, but do not glorify him as God, and they become vain in their imaginations. Romans 1:22 says this, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. A lot of foolish people preaching from the Word. I'm occasionally a foolish person, but I recognize I'm a foolish person when someone points out to me, and I change. These people are proud in their foolishness. They desire the best lives now, and we see the results in today's society in the rest of Romans 1. Turn to Romans 1, verses 24 to 32, and see if you're going to see that in Fox News when you go home today. So Romans 1, starting in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it. Looks like today's society, doesn't it? Now, it's one thing to have a person that believes this stuff, a person that calls people to enjoy sin for a season with him. It's quite another for a pastor to get up here and proclaim that is good, because that is what society wants today. And we're seeing that right and left, which is why we're losing this country quickly. If we want to fix that, Third Great Awakening means we have to go back to godly principles. They have pleasure in others sinning the same way as they do, so they can build each other up in sinful pride. We, instead, want to build each other up in the truth. You know, Tom at the men's prayer breakfast came out, do you want to be held accountable? Do you like the idea of being held accountable? Yes, I do. It scares me to death because I know what I am. But I want to be held accountable because I want to be lifted up to get closer to God, and I want to be able to do that with other people also. And if we keep doing that, we keep building each other up in the truth. They want to build each other up in the sin. You know, if you do the same thing I'm doing, we both must be right, because if 10,000 people do it, how can 10,000 people be wrong, right? So let's all come together and agree with this certain sin is no longer a sin. And if all of us agree with it, it must be true, because everyone agrees. Well, you know, there's an old bumper sticker that said, God said it, I believe it, that makes it true. It's actually an incorrect bumper sticker. All you have to say is, God said it, that makes it true. It doesn't make any difference if I believe it. But the point was, don't look for a majority. Majority does not rule in this world. Most people are going to hell. The road to hell is wide, comfortable, all the way until you start burning up and get very hot. The road to heaven is very narrow, and few be that find it. Don't look for majority rule to determine what is true. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, evil communication corrupts good manners. That's true inside churches, that's true outside of churches. So with all this, Why do they do this? Why is it they have pleasure in all this? It's because they confuse godliness. They think godliness is gain. Now that we see a lot of the health and wealth gospel out there, prosperity gospel. That's exactly what they're teaching. Now, Tom, you don't have your 58 Chevy yet. You have not been praying enough. If you had faith, you give me $10,000, that shows your faith, and then you will pray and you will have that 58 Chevy there. Don't you see that? No, that's godliness. There are a lot of preachers that preach that, but it's not. It doesn't have to be that obvious. It can be far more subtle. It's just looking at your life today and trying to improve that instead of laying up treasures from heaven. And they use complex arguments. They seek to beguile simple souls. They look at Bible codes, other gospels not in the canon, new inventions, saying that God is still speaking apart from His Word. How many of you have seen God is still speaking right next to a rainbow flag? Now, what are they saying with that? What they're saying is God is speaking. That was then because of the way the patriarchy was, but now God has accepted them. And if we had a whole bunch of pro-abortion, pro-gay rights, things like that come to that church, do you think I'd kick them out? Not in your life. Wouldn't be members, but I'd show them the truth. They would accept the truth or they would reject the truth. That's up to them, not me. I'm not going to judge them. That's a different sin is all it is. It's not a question of judging them. It's a question of bringing the truth of Scripture to people, proclaiming that truth, and allow God to work in the hearts that would change who would be saved. But they suppose to show a higher knowledge, make sure that we can have our best life now. You know, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. It says that, right? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He also says he answers prayer. In fact, he goes so far to say he will give us the desires of our heart. He's adopted me. He's adopted me. He has no choice but to make me rich because he's so rich. And what father would not make his son rich, correct? So if I'm not rich, I obviously lack faith. You have that 58 Chevy yet? You heretic. So, he's adopted me. I need to be rich to prove, that is. But you know what? I don't know how to do it. But that pastor does. He says, I need to show my faith. How do I show my faith? Well, you're going to hear in a few weeks, starting stewardship series. You know, what you trust, you write a check to. What you love, you write a check to, right? That's why God calls it. He doesn't need my money, but he wants to show people how to support God, and you do that by writing a check. Well, I want to be rich. That pastor said I need to show my faith. Well, I'll show my faith by writing everything I get into that pastor so he can see my faith, therefore he'll pray for me and I'll have it. You know, just like Peter Popoff's Miracle Water. I can't believe it's starting to show up on TV screens again. Send him a check, he'll send you Miracle Water, and you'll get whatever you want. Exactly what you asked for, as a matter of fact, because God has no choice but to do it. So, name it, claim it, and enrich your pastor showing you a faith, and God will bless it. You know, this church needs to show their faith. They need to show this faith. Jesus wants me to have that jet. I have an airport right down there. You need to buy that jet for me. It's exactly what Creflo Dollar did. He actually broke down exactly how much each person should give so he could have that jet. And you say, you know, if Jesus was alive today, he wouldn't be riding around a donkey. He'd be on a jet proclaiming his truth. You know what? At the time, Jesus walked. At the time, he wore on sandals. They had very fancy chariots and things like that. I don't think Jesus would be going around a jet showing how rich he was today. Sorry, folks. No, these are not pastors that are talking. These are self-help, motivational speakers showing how to use your skills to enrich yourself in this life. They're not looking to try to improve your spirit. They're looking at how to improve your flesh. And they demand the same pay and respect that you see with the self-help speakers. These wolves act like a magician. They discuss extra-biblical things to take people's eyes away from the simple truths of Scripture. When we start arguing about complex arguments, when we start talking about what should we do with this, what should we do with that, etc., what's happening? We're taking your eyes away from Scripture, and we start dealing with this over here as everyone ignores what the Word is saying. And we start arguing with this, and we start coming up with compromise. We start coming up with ideas to make everyone happy, and we leave the Bible completely. Look at the paper today when you go home, the Sunday paper. Has that happened in the United States? Do we have a godly nation anymore? That's why. We've left the Bible, and we've gone to controversial subjects apart from the Bible to try to show how wise we are. So it's much like the Catholic Church, and we're studying that a little bit in the Dark Ages. You couldn't even own a Bible at the time. Why? Because you start talking about biblical things and find out where error was. We need to make sure we don't have error, and we do that by His Word. So they use extra-biblical sources and new revelations to cast out the truth as they see great men of advantage getting rich. They fly jets. They have huge churches. They are sought out by kings and celebrities for their good works. They got to be right. You know? It's like 3 billion Muslims can't be all wrong, correct? Their prayers have been answered by their faith that they have discovered. I will follow them and learn the newly discovered secrets. What good is a Bible? I'm hungry. What good is a Bible? I'm not rich. Others ignore the Bible, include liberation theology. They're not looking to get rich as much. They use the church to demand government change to make sure the rich give to the poor what they need to do. Talked about that in Sunday school. I have no authority at all to discuss with the government what law should be. I can say where they go against the Bible, but I can't demand the state do things because I'm not part of the state. I'm part of the church. Again, they take the focus off treasures in heaven and focus on today. 2 Timothy 2:23 says this, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." Foolish and unlearned questions are any that stray from God's word. If you're dealing with someone who has a complex argument, a complex set of facts, who's looking, apart from the Bible, at something you need to argue about, don't bother. Withdraw thyself. That's what he said. He didn't say sit there and can't make them right. He said withdraw thyself. Because 2 Timothy 3:5 says this again, "Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." You're not going to change them. They're smarter than you. You're not going to change them. They have more letters than you. You're not going to change them. They have a better command of the English language than you. But other people will follow them. You know, they play the lottery. They go to prosperity gospel churches. They pray for health and wealth and by faith give to these prosperity preachers. Why? My ship's got to come in somehow. I don't know which port it's going to come in. I'll just add it to everything else I'm trying to do, and one of them will make me rich eventually. We need to present the truth and withdraw from those false preachers. Again, I'm not going to work with them, even if we agree on some social issues. I've told you many times, that was my big mistake with the moral majority years ago, when everyone came together to work on some really good things. But it took the focus off the Bible and truth and put it on practicality today. Do not wish them Godspeed, or you'll be a partaker of their sin. Thank God for blessings today as you put treasures in heaven, proclaiming His pure words of truth, unadulterated by today's supposed wisdom. So, why are false teachers so successful? Because they follow their father of lies, Satan, and have done so since the Garden of Eden. They have a form of godliness and a kernel of truth. Once the devil was walking along with one of his cohorts, they saw a man ahead of them pick up something shiny. "What'd he find?" said the cohort. "A piece of the truth," the devil replied. "Doesn't it bother you that he found a piece of the truth?" asked the cohort. "No," said the devil. "I will see to it that he makes a religion out of it." Truth taken out of context and twisted is the basis for many false religions. Take a kernel of truth, go away from the Bible so you can have some sort of anchor there that doesn't hold anything, and get people focused on that kernel outside of the context they were sent. That's what the devil does. Don't follow people just because they quote Scripture. Don't follow them just because they speak well. Don't follow them because they claim great truths apart from His Word, even if it seems to have a kernel of truth to it. Follow them only if they rightly divide the Word of truth, if they rightly divide comparing Scripture with Scripture to come up with what God intends. If they reject one jot or one tittle of any part of the Word, reject them. Withdraw and ignore them completely. They may sound good, but they're destitute of the truth, and they'll lead you in a very bad way. So we need to be Bereans. We need to compare teachings to the Bible to ensure no false teaching. I've taught false teaching here before because I've been corrected. I looked at it. I recognized it. Someone pointed out, says, you know, you're right on that. And I changed. That's what we need to do. I'm not saying be perfect because none of us are. But when you find error, go to the right source and correct it that way. Avoid people demanding allegiance without question. Avoid people who enjoy controversy, showing elevated wisdom. I'm a fundamentalist pastor. I'm controversial in this world, but not the Bible-believing churches. Avoid those wanting to be controversial in those churches for controversy's sake, showing themselves so much smarter than everyone else. These false people draw people away, seeking your best in this world, but they deny the power of the next. Thank God he's given us his word. Thank God he's shown us how to live for him. Thank God he's shown us the way of salvation. Let us study the simplicity of Christ and him crucified. Avoid being drawn in by those seeking a higher knowledge, a higher wisdom, apart from his word, seeking only to serve him as we look forward to his return. How many people are looking forward to his return? Amen. This shows how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, which is basically right now, and where he's going to do it, all over the world. Now, when, I'm not setting a date, make no mistake. His time is soon coming. Define soon with someone who's an eternal. I can't. But we look at the sign, we see it's coming. Since we see it's coming, we need to work all that much harder. With that, let's turn what we need to do. Turn to hymn number 485, and we'll sing what we need to do. Have thine own way, Lord. Here's the question today. Are you wounded and weary? Are you wounded and weary because you've been looking at the wrong place for truth? The truth of salvation is right here. If you've never accepted that free gift, the truth of salvation is the blood shed was shed for your sins. That blood shed was shed that your penalty could be paid, that he could then adopt you as a true son or daughter of God, and you become a joint heir of Jesus Christ. And it comes from his word. But if you've been looking in the wrong places, you're wounded, you're weary, you're tired. Come today to make sure that you have that salvation, that you receive that free gift, that you can be a joint heir of Jesus Christ. What is a 58 Chevy compared to being a joint heir of heaven, a joint heir of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? There's nothing in this world to compare to that. If you've been focused on the wrong thing, focused in this life, focused in such a way that you're not saved, let the day be the day that you leave this world and join on with the next. Let the day be the day you let that blood cover your sins and become a child of God. If there's no one here, you can come up anytime you want. I'll talk to you afterward. If there's no one here with that, altar's always open. You can pray here. You can pray there. Have you been seeking too much in this world and not focusing on the next? Have you been building barns to put more of God's blessings in those barns, and which God says, thou fool, for the day I'll demand my life, your life from you? Or have you been putting away treasures in heaven? If you haven't put away treasures in heaven, if your bank account is empty, commit today to do that. It's never too late. What's behind you is not important. It's what's ahead of you. If you haven't been doing that, look at the Word. Learn how to live for him. Learn how to put those treasures in heaven, that when you see Jesus Christ, if you're saved, and you see him at that judgment seat, he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's what Paul worked for. Paul worked hard for that. And he calls us to the same thing. I pray that everyone here will hear those glorious words and not have to suffer loss. Still saved, but not have to suffer loss because they focus too much in this world. With that, Kathy, play one more verse. Pray to yourself. Ask God, first of all, if you're saved. If you're not, come up and I'll show you exactly how. But if you're saved and you've been living too much for this world, ask God to give you a calling and commit to that calling and do his work while you're still here that you can hear those great and glorious words. Kathy, if you'd like. Heavenly Father, I stand in front of you, humble as a broken vessel holding your words of life, holding your living water, carrying your bread of life. And Lord, knowing I'm not worthy, I need to be empowered by you with your word. I have no wisdom of my own. I can only bring yours. And that is true with every single person here, Lord. I'm the pastor of this church, but every one of us is a preacher. Every one of us is to bring your pure words of life to a lost and dying world, that we may see that lost and dying world come to you, that we may see souls saved for your glory, that we may see your fruit hung upon our branches, that our joy may be complete, that our labors are not in vain. And Lord, if there's anybody here today who's never accepted that free gift, who's never recognized the fact that this world is not supposed to be our home, but it is our home because we turned our back on you, and has not accepted that free gift of the blood shed for the payment of our sins, let the day be that day. Let them seek me out, let me seek someone else out, and let them be shown from your word exactly what it is to be saved. For those of us who are saved, Lord, and focus too much on this world, put our focus back where it should be. Put our focus back on serving you, on being your child, being your ambassador in a lost and dying world, being a joint heir of Jesus Christ, learning how to live the family values. And let us learn those family values, live those family values, and show those family values that your name will be glorified throughout this area, and people will know that there is a God in Newport and Claremont. And Lord, correct us when we're wrong, and lift us up when we're right, that we may proclaim your holy word to others and know that we're living by it. We ask in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.